Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood, and Justin will be with us shortly. We have a great show lined up today. We have a fantastic guest that has a lot of experience working with folks and work in the areas of sales and personal development and goal setting and all kinds of stuff. So I can't wait to ask him some questions about his background. I've been fascinated with the folks that come from some of these larger sales background areas. So, but anyway, hope everybody's staying safe and secure out there during COVID-19 and a lot of craziness in the world with protests and those things. So hopefully everybody is staying safe and infection free. So far, so good with your co-hosts here in Texas and beyond. So we're doing very well there. So so from time to time we you know, as always, we have special guests that come on the show, and our guest today certainly has a lot of fantastic experience. I see that the sales experience he has, he seems very dynamic and very, very dynamic and very experienced. So without further ado, let's welcome David Nieves to the Concierge Coaches Show. David, welcome, man. Thanks for coming.
Hey, Bruce, how's it going? Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here on your show and then to build some value for all your listeners.
Yeah. The little podcast that could, man, started it in 2016, and I've had a variety of salespeople and a lot of different coaches come on the show. We have executive coaches, life coaches, coaches in Beverly Hills that pack lunches for kids. We've had just about spiritual coaches, metaphysical coaches, leaky gut, nutrition. You name it, we've had it. So I'm glad to have you part of the crew here.
Well, congratulations, first of all. You know what? In this media content world, we need more shows like this. Right now, I look at everything that's happening right now all over, and the looting and this craziness is happening all over the place, and like. The media first focus on COVID-19. Now the focus goes to looting. I was like, wait, we're not focused on this anymore.
Yeah, no, man. We need you to loot responsibly by keeping 6 feet apart from each other in the van store in Santa Monica.
I thank you for putting this type of content, man, because we need more content like this out there. And you're putting that little
we are putting it out there. Yeah, we're definitely. We are definitely putting the content out there, and we'll have another shameless plug for us on Apple, iTunes, and iHeart and stuff like that. So, well, great. Well, tell us, our listeners and viewers now, a little bit about yourself and your background.
Absolutely. What you're doing. I mean, I don't know how far you want me to go back, but I can tell you that I was born in San Juan, Puerto Rico. I have five brothers, one sister. We were poor, grew up in the ghetto in Puerto Rico. It was very, 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 a lot of crime, but my mother had Christian values, so we were able to get out of there and essentially moved to Dallas, Texas, right there in Arlington, and I'm still there. I love Dallas, Texas. Texas is one of my favorite states still. It was not even a state, it's a republic.
right.
So we do our own thing. Because of where I grew up, I had to become very self-reliant. And you know, it's never a lack of resources that stops anybody from reaching any type of level in their lives. It's a lack of resourcefulness. So it was resourcefulness I had to get to. My life pushed me towards that direction, and I think every obstacle does that. You know, you can look at it multiple different ways, but I got resourceful. At the age of 13, I started working for my first job at McDonald's. Before then, I was mowing lawns. You know, I started my first business by the age of 20. I raised over $250,000. Started my first business. Ended up selling that. Essentially, got into sales. Eventually, I ended up. I love fitness. I'm a fitness competitor. I did that. Okay. Done 10 different competitions. Done first places multiple times, and then essentially, I went into. I had some struggles within my businesses, like we all entrepreneurs. I'll tell you a little bit about it. I got into an accident where I break both my legs, ended up in a wheelchair for 5 months, and I discovered that most of us have residual bills, but we don't have residual income. So I started looking for after that I lost my businesses. I started looking for other ways to creating. Multiple streams of incomes that are coming on a residual basis from either real estate investments or businesses. And I felt in a unique opportunity, and I grew a company, had a company that was expanding from Europe. I helped them expand here in the United States, grew that company to $250 million in sales in 4.5 years. And essentially now, of course, I'm in a different project, but essentially that's my experience. I build communities of teams of people, and I train them, teach people how to have businesses, have the right type of mindset, I've spoken in front of an audience of 300,000 people combined in the last 4.5 years, and it's been an amazing journey and fun. I've been having a great time. I have one of my mentors. He says, "David, life is opportunity mixed with difficulties. That's what life is," and I will have to agree with that. But that's the Chinese condensed version.
The Chinese symbol for crisis is challenge and opportunity in a symbol. So that's very, very correct. So shout out to the Boricuas. I worked for the federal prison system. We used to go to Guaynabo. There's a federal prison.
No way! That's where I'm from. Guaynabo.
Yeah. And so we go down there and transport inmates and stuff. And you got to go back a week and listen to our guest, Justin. So we had a gentleman who's on here from Puerto Rico all the time, but we'll talk about him another day. So I see Justin's with us, and glad to have you, Justin. We're doing some intro stuff. And David was, you know, sharing some of his background and it's really interesting where you're competing, you're in a wheelchair, and then it sounds like after the wheelchair situation, you really kind of blew up, if you will.
Yeah. You know, I see things like, I have a very unique perspective because I just, you know, beliefs make you perform. Your perspective drives performance. Beliefs drives performance. And one of my beliefs that I realized is that every adversity in life, every breakdown in your life, or every breakthrough in your life, should I say, was first preceded by a breakdown.
Right.
You notice that, right?
Right.
Every breakthrough in life and in anybody's life was first preceded by a breakdown. And eventually, from that breakthrough in life that you had, eventually you break out, because it's in the process is breakdown, breakthrough, breaking out. It's possible for you to break through something, not be broken out of something. It's possible for you to have an aha moment, but that aha moment still hasn't become a habit that you internalize and creates change in your life. But you know you should change. So I got to a point where after I was in that wheelchair for 5 months, and I literally worst place financially, I thought I made it by having three gyms. I was just about to franchise my businesses, and life punched me in the gut, and I fell hard. And I was 5 months behind on my rent, 5 months behind on my car payment. I was hiding my car in my next door neighbor's garage because he was in repo status. It's a true story.
Nice.
And my neighbor, really, really sweet, she was like, yeah, sure, you can hide your car in my garage and I'll put my car in yours. And I had to do that because my garage wouldn't go down because my garage broke and I didn't have the money to fix it. So I know someone in the middle of the night, they were going to pick up my car. So I called my neighbor and she was a sweet old lady that let me put my car in her garage and I put her car in my garage. And that's how I got away with driving my car for 5 months without being behind. And essentially, after I got back on my feet, you know, what's interesting, Bruce, during that time, when there's always an opportunity where something, when bad things happen in your life. And the opportunity that I saw, I was 5 months behind on my 5 months, a trap in my place. I couldn't leave. I was in a wheelchair. I didn't have nobody to help me. And so I read over 100 different books of personal development, business, science, philosophy. And so even though my body was broken, I was strengthening my mind. And I, the month after I got out of that wheelchair, and I was able to work 12 months later, I made over $1 million in a business. Wow. But again, I was ready though. 5 months of preparation.
It's like sitting in jail, just waiting to be released from jail or prison, you know?
It really was. It really was. It was quite an experience for sure.
And I know we might be going out of order on some of the talking points you sent over, but you know, I noticed that you had some tremendous experiences. I know you have had some Amway experience and other kind of marketing, multi-line marketing experience. What is it about you? What skill set do you have that it really allowed you to really do so well, you know, in those venues? What's your secret sauce?
I would say is my ability to recover from disappointment to disappointment. That's
okay.
It. I think that many of us in life, we let a disappointment get us down and we don't recover fast enough. We hang on to things and 5 years later, we're still thinking about that pain that we had 5 years ago. And we let that affect us and our decisions in the future because, oh no, I'm not going to, for example, you know, you mentioned Amway. I'm not in Amway. I'm just saying, you know, just using that example, it's like, you know, people might join a company like Amway and then later on, they leave that company, and then there might be another company out there that's just that's either even better or has similar to it. They start thinking about that experience. Oh, that was a disappointing experience. No, even though they're closing down the opportunities for themselves and the possibilities is shrunken because of their inability to reframe and process pain they experienced in the past. And we do that with everything in life. So I think my biggest, if I had an advantage over someone, it would be, and it's not an advantage because it's a discipline. It's a muscle, by the way. There really isn't anything that I have that anybody else has. It's a discipline. It's a muscle you can develop just like walking. You know, a baby first starts crawling. Eventually you learn how to walk, but it's a discipline. So you can develop, you know, anybody can. But what I've developed over a period of time is my ability to recover. In that example of the wheelchair, it was me bouncing back. And I think you know, fall down 7 times, get back up 8. Is that ability to my favorite movie is Rocky. Rocky's my favorite movie. I watch that movie and I get jacked. And I remember Rocky. I think it was one of the last movies that Sylvester Stallone did. It was called Rocky. Where he talks to his son, he says, you know, son, let me tell you something you already know. That speech in life, you know, and he gives that speech. And that's exactly what it is. It's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how much you can take, how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. I think that discipline is a muscle that you can develop. And it's a mindset, 100% a mindset. So if I have anything, it's that I just developed that. And all everything in my past and the reframing of things, because we all have a past, we all have experiences, we all have pain. But it's how we handle that. One of my favorite books out there, Bruce, is that it's Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
Oh, yes.
Have you heard that book? Have you read that book? Hey,
absolutely.
Justin, what's up?
Been around.
Yeah. It's a great book.
Logo Therapy. Yeah.
Logo therapy. That's it. And logo, what is it? It's a label. What's the logo? It's a label. Label therapy. That's what it is. What label are you going to give the situation that happened to you? Label would, in other words, that the meaning that you give that situation will determine the feeling that you have. That feeling determines an action, and action determines your habits. Your habits determine your destiny.
Well, there you go, man.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Justin?
I had to have him on here today, Bruce.
this guy
is complete fire. Complete fire. I apologize for running a couple minutes late dealing with a fire over here of my own. I've watched this man speak on stage in front of tens of thousands. So he's quite the character. Viktor Frankl, that one's up there for me too. How many times have you read that book, would you say, Dave? I know you're a big fan of rereading books over and over.
Yeah. You know, I got to a point now, but that book probably about 20 times, but I got to a point now that I read chapters, and I read just because I read to feed my natural sense of curiosity, right? If I'm curious about something, because I notice when I read a book, sometimes I only retain like 1%, 0.5% of the book I retain it. So I got to a point, I was like, you know what? This is a waste of time. Why am I reading an entire book when I can when I can pull out lessons that to apply to my life, which is the most important thing? Everything's about application. Is what makes a difference. So now I get to a point that I have my stash of favorite books by my bed, probably about 20 or 40 different books that I have there in my bed, and I just read. And every time I feel like it, I read a chapter. I listen to audiobooks. I mix around my learning. Sometimes I listen to audiobooks. Sometimes I feel like reading. I read with the sense of feeding my natural sense of curiosity. And when I started studying that way, I noticed that I retain a lot more information.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good, man. This is fun. It's my first time doing one of these.
Okay.
So I don't know where we are in discussion topic queue, Bruce, with Mr. Nieves, but. David, and if we already talked through this, we'll move on to the next topic, but I want you to talk about, maybe you could share a story or two, and you kind of animated some of that a second ago as I was listening in, but around your greatest failures and how you were able to rebound. And I want to know specifically around the action-oriented plan, the methodical steps that you take, sort of your process when failure happens, when it's inevitable, right?
Correct.
What does Mr. Nieves do next, and what process does he put in place to take that failure and to just turn it on its fucking head, for lack of a better term, and kick it in the ass and move forward from it.
I have to go back to the Bible verse, Proverbs says, without vision, the people perish, right? So it's always about having a new vision. In fact, the original Hebrew text says, without a vision, they cast off restraint. Now, Solomon wrote that thousands of years ago. And when you think about it, what is someone that has no restraint? There's no discipline. There's no commitment. There's no accountability. There's none of the things that it requires for a person to achieve any type of level of success. So everything starts with a vision. So whenever you're in that place where, man, you're just falling, you look around, you look left. For starters, you got to realize that when I was in that place, when my bank account was negative $2,000, when I was like in a wheelchair where it almost seemed hopeless, I reframed it. I said, you know what? There's lessons here. There's good stuff. This is the good things, because I think back in my life, and I think back that everything in every lesson that I've learned has always come from pain. Always has always come from a moment that I, again, when I went through it, from a breakdown, then I got my breakthrough. From every lesson, I got that. And I remember that. I remember that. So when I'm going through a hard moment today, it's very easy for me to, my girlfriend, Brooke, always telling me, she says, David, you're almost like a, I don't know if you have emotions sometimes, because I do, of course. But the thing is that I just know how to take something and look at it and say, that's not a big deal. That's a checklist. That's what that is. You have, oh, but no, that's a big problem. Hey, it might be a problem, but it's a checklist. We just gotta work on it to check it off. So everything, I start with a vision. If I lose where I'm at, and I just, okay, what's my vision? And I have three categories a vision I dissected in three different areas. If you want me to get real specific on this, number one,
Please do.
A specific outcome. I want to know what's my outcome. What am I trying to reach? I'm trying to have. Let's talk about money, because it's easy to count, right? But it could be your health. It could be a better relationship with your family. It could be me bucket list you want to start knocking off, traveling, whatever it is. So first of all, I start off with my vision. What's my outcome? What I'm trying to accomplish? I'm trying to make, increase my income for the next to $20,000 this year. Great, that's an outcome. Then number two, now I got to give that the outcome a compelling motives or a why, if you will, right? There's a story of a lady of a tribe, and you guys probably heard the story of two tribes that were constantly in battle. One lived in the high mountains, the other one lived in low plain mountains, and they were constantly in battle all the time. And then one day in one of those battles, the baby was stolen from the low plain tribe, and they took the baby up the mountain. And the warriors, the best warriors of the low plain tribes, got together and said, "Hey, we're gonna rescue this baby." And they set up to go rescue the baby. They went up the mountain, but they went through one side, they hit a dead end. They went through the other side, it was too cold. They hit another side, it was too rocky. They hit another side, it was a dead end, another dead end. Finally, after weeks of trying, they gave up. A week passed by, and they see a figure come down the mountain, and the warriors thinking that they're gonna be attacked, so they rush towards the figure, and they notice is the mother of the baby carrying the baby. And they, of course, surprised. We don't get it. How is it? How is it that you conquered the mountain? We, the best warrior of the village, could not conquer the mountain. How did you do it? And she looked at him intensely and said, "It wasn't your baby." You see, it has to do with, now that I have a specific outcome, I fabricate in my mind my baby. What's my why? What's my motivation? What's my motive behind that? And it has to be compelling, something that just pulls on you. Motivation is hard when you try to push yourself, but when something pulls on you, it becomes very easy. And lastly, what I do, so I got my vision. I'm building a company. My vision, my specific outcome is to create X amount of sales by the X amount of time. Then I decided, hey, what's my why? Why am I wanting to do this? What's my motivation behind? So I got a list of whys. And lastly, step number three is you got to have a inspiring identity. And that means what the person you have to become in the process, because it's all we as human beings always act in consistency with how we see ourselves and who we believe we are. And that's why I'm so careful when people start saying, when people say to them, "Oh, this is just the way I am. Oh, I'm, you know me, I'm shy. You know me, that's the worst thing you can do for yourself, by the way, when you start claiming and labeling yourself an identity. Guess what? You're going to live up to that identity. How about you saying to yourself, "I'm outgoing"? How about telling yourself, I'm a person that builds value in other people's lives"? How about you? "I'm a friendly person. I smile at people. I'm the person that gets people out of their comfort zone by interacting. I'm a relational person." Well, how about telling yourself that? How about creating that label for yourself? So, because whatever label it is that you decide is the label that you're going to live up to. So I say, if that's the case, if we're doing that all day long, that's what our brains do anyways, why not decide your own labels that you're going to give yourself? So I decide what type of person is the person that's going to achieve my goals. Well, that person's committed. That person's consistent. That person shows up on time. That person's committed. That person is a person that, that values relationship. That's a person that, that spends time with family. That's fulfilled. That person is a person that works out. It has energy all day long. So I have a list of values, in other words, that I said I'm going to live up to. And I then, obviously, now it's repetition. Because I want, it's not just write down your goals and you're like, whew, that wore me out. I'm going to put it to the side. Now you have to do the work. And the work is reminding yourself every single day. I have a routine every single day when I wake up in the morning. The first thing is I have my vision. I have my whys. And then I have my identity that I'm living up. And I read it every day. I even went a step further and I wrote a statement that I read to myself and affirmations that I read to myself. I believe in affirmations. If you're gonna have self-talk, might as well have control self-talk and self-talk that directs you in the place where you can achieve your goals and the things you want in life. That's number one. The vision, what is it? What a specific outcome? What is it that you want? Number two, what do you want? What's your why? Why do you want that? You got, it has to be compelling. And number three, what identity can you become to that will be worthy of those goals and will achieve those goals that you're trying to accomplish, that vision you're trying to accomplish. So once I did that, and that's how I live my life now. It's worked for me for many years now. Anybody can take control of their lives. It really is. You don't have to be a victim of circumstances, right? E plus R equals O. Event plus response equals outcome. You have an event. It's not the event. The response is what matters. And that's what determines the outcome. E plus R equals O. E plus R equals O. Excuse me. Event plus response equals outcome. And that right there is Viktor Frankl, by the way. Viktor Frankl, it's such an amazing book for all the audience never read the book of Viktor Frankl. It just puts into perspective. When you have, the worst case scenario is for you to live in a Holocaust. For you to be in a, where he was living, has a 3% survival rate. 13,000 people were murdered daily in the concentration camps. Viktor Frankl in that book, Man's Search for Meaning, he writes that they took everything away from me. They took my wife. They took my degrees. In those days, a degree was important because they didn't have computers. So if you don't have your degree, you don't have your little piece of paper that says you're a doctor, guess what? There's no record of it. You went to school, prove it. So they took that away from him. They took his manuscript. It took him years to write his manuscript, and he's been working on it. And they took that manuscript away from him. So everything away. They took his clothes. They shaved his hair. He said after all that, he said the one last human freedom, the one thing they couldn't take away from, he calls it the last human freedom, is how I choose to respond during this situation. Is the last human freedom there is. And I think that for every single one of us is probably the most important thing that we can apply in our lives is understanding these things that we're doing. And that, give me just a second. We're grooving.
No, sorry. It's the freaking delay over this live stream here.
No, all good.
So keep going with it.
I think if we push things, if we're constantly putting things into perspective, understanding that, hey, it really what happens to you does not matter. The event does not matter. It's always the R. It's always the response. That's where the word responsibility comes from. Responsibility comes from two words, response and ability. Meaning that at any given moment, you have the ability to respond and to choose your response regardless of the event. That's the most powerful. My favorite word in the world is responsibility because of that. And it's not that people are going to, you're being punished or something. No. Responsibility is your ability to respond in the fact and being conscious, right? Consciousness and awareness. Awareness is the beginning of change. Always. For example, what is that organization now? Alcoholic Anonymous. is probably the best, one of the best organizations to create change in people's lives. Everybody knows the first step. What is it? Admit you have a problem, right? In other words, awareness, hey, you got to change. There's something about you got to change. Awareness is always the beginning of change. So It's the awareness of the fact that, hey, no matter what's happening in my life, I choose the response. And I can focus, you know, your focus determines, wherever focus goes, energy flows. So whenever whatever thoughts that you've given you focus, the process, the psychological drama, I kind of touched on just a little bit ago, you know, thoughts, input becomes thoughts. Thoughts become our feelings. Feelings become actions. Actions become our habits. Our habits become our destiny. You want to predict your destiny? Here's how you do it. Look at your habits. Very simple to predict your destiny. So you have the psychological drama, but if you're aware of that, and you're aware of what's happening, the psychological drama and the process and the steps, it's much easier to be in control of your thoughts. It's much easier to be in control of your life and redirect your life in any regardless of what happens. Because I think one of the reasons that most of us suffer is because we believe we should not be going through something. We fight it. We're like, oh, this should not be happening to me. What are you talking about? You live on planet Earth. Right. We all have shit we're going through. We all have problems. We all have issues, man. I'm willing to bet that both of you right now has shit that you're dealing with, and people don't know about it, but you're dealing with it. We all have our own issues. Everybody. So I think if we get away from that mindset and stop fighting the stuff that happens, you know, the event, we're like, oh, if we stop fighting the event, let the event be the event. Fuck it. Let the event be the event. You have nothing to do with the event. Your response, 100% to do with your response, which will create 100% of the outcome.
Exactly. Yeah, we have free will to make choices, and we can exercise our free will in a way that moves us forward. So, you know, the same thing for the cognitive behavioral therapy of depression. Aaron Beck discovered that if you change the way you think, you can change your depression. So it's not necessarily you're the victim of a biochemical imbalance, but there's certainly things that you can do with meaningful action. We talk about the cure for a lot of psychological illnesses is a meaningful action in a sustained vector. And so I like what you're saying. And Frankl, you know, certainly one of the earlier authors. So, and then moving forward with other stuff. So sounds like you've applied these techniques and with different platforms. I'm kind of curious, and Justin, hopefully I'm not, you know, going out of order too bad, but tell us a little bit about the platform you're doing now, or the project I think you said you were doing now.
I like technology. It's one of the things that I think is cool. I mean, obviously it's a tool, right? So I'm in the process of right now expanding a company here from Asia, Japan and Korea, here to the United States. In fact, we launched today, and it's a virtual reality. We're bringing a virtual reality content and technology right here to the United States. You know, one of the reasons virtual reality has not taken an adaptation has been for several reasons, but one of them is the lack of content. You know, many people are not going to be, we're not going to play zombies and killing zombies in video games all day. Like, I'm not going to do that. I don't play video games that often, if never, probably once every 2 years now. But I imagine you guys are probably the same. So the virtual reality has been more for gaming, but now there's applicable applications for our lives that can really benefit us, especially now during COVID-19. And I think for anybody that's, and this is a good, I believe personally, when I look at the marketplace tells me we're heading towards virtual reality this year, and everybody, you can't escape it. You can try, but you won't be able to. Technology always wins. And I think one of the most important things that you can look at for anybody who wants to start a business, you got to look at the marketplace. You got to look at where the market's heading. I'll give you an example. I got a friend of mine and because there's so many opportunities out there for you to make money. I got a friend of mine. He looked at that one documentary that came out, Last Dance, the Chicago Bulls documentary. Right. Have you guys seen that yet? It's sick. Like, it's a sick, sick documentary. nine episodes, amazing, all of them, big hit. He knew that was coming out. So he knew that they advertised it in ESPN. They saw everything. He loved it all. So before that documentary came out, he bought 100 Scottie Pippen playing cards, paid $30 a piece. He framed them, cost him $5 to frame each card. So $35 each. 100, 35 times 100, that's $3,500 he spent. Now, whenever the documentary came out, he sold each card for $300 a pop. That's 1,000% increase on his money. He took $3,500 and turned it into $30,000. Now, question to all your audience and everybody's watching this. How did he do that? He looked at the marketplace. The marketplace tells the story every time. If you look at the marketplace and you pay close attention, the marketplace tells you the need and where we're heading and where we're going. So in my opinion, looking at the marketplace, looking at the fact that Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Samsung, and all the big players are jumping into the VR space and have announced articles and have print out. I mean, even Apple just announced that their goal is to have their new virtual reality goggles and glasses to one day replace the iPhone. When you have Apple talking like that, it's a big hint of where we're heading. So I looking at that, I found a unique opportunity, and now we're creating content in virtual reality that's applicable content for anybody to use. Maybe you want to learn how to MMA fight. Well, how about putting your virtual reality goggles and being inside the octagon with one of the top UFC trainers in the world? Maybe you want to learn how to golf. Well, how about putting your goggles on and having Tiger Woods train you next to you how to play golf? There's so many applications. Maybe you're shopping for this e-commerce. Maybe you're shopping for a car. Well, how about putting in your virtual reality, augmented reality headsets? And now the car that you're shopping for appears in your living room, and you're able to open the door, look inside the car, look at the trunk, look at the engine. Ooh, how about houses? How about real estate market? How about real estate? Well, how about being, if you're looking for a house, how about touring 100 houses without ever leaving your living room, but you walk through every house that you're looking into? This is where we're heading. And there's so much more. Then you can think about virtual reality content like this right here, for example. Right now, let's fast forward 2 or 3 years from now, where people are already have virtual reality headsets, and this podcast, they put on the headsets, and no longer they're looking at a 3D screen. They have Bruce and Justin next to them drinking coffee as if we're right there sitting next to each other having the same room. That's a podcast. That's an experience. So we're in different places, but we are together. Maybe. Instead of saying, hey, instead of being in three different places, we tell our audience, hey, audience, today we're going to go to Egypt, and we're going to have this podcast in front of the pyramids. And we're going to sit down in front of the pyramids, and everybody puts their headsets, and every single one of us are in front of the pyramids. We have a desert behind us and the camels running behind us. We have the pyramids in front of us, and here we are having the same podcast, having a conversation. That's where we're heading, and that's where we're at right now. And the technology is already here. It's just the adaptation of the technology that it's taking a little time for several reasons. If you want me to go into it, I don't know how interesting.
I remember the problems that Oculus had, a lot of problems and some other stuff. Man, and it's an interesting play. I think it is heading that direction. But the Google Glass, it fell on its ass. 3D televisions, they fell on their ass. It's easier said than done. I think the technology's there, but man, the human, like you said, the human adaptation and the human's ability to incorporate stimuli, and I think that's what happened. It was just too much fucking stimuli, and the brain can't negotiate it. So we'll see as this moves forward, right? I mean, I think that's like you said, it's gonna be a little bit of time before I think. The broad-based application happens. So I think you're in the right space.
Yes, it's one of those things that, you know, virtual reality cannot be talked about. It has to be experienced. And it's one of the reasons why I'm coming in, because I can apply my skill sets to build communities of teams that share the technology. And that's what has been missing, because You know, if not, I always tell people, listen, if virtual reality, you could just simply just watch a movie, Ready Player One would have been the best commercial. There should have been a big rush of 100 million people rushing towards the stores buying virtual reality. That didn't happen. It's not something you can just see. It has to be experienced. And that's where I come in. I've done very, very successful. I created communities of teams of people. And so far we launched in Asia, crushing it. You know, we almost sold $5 million in our first 30 days. And we're still now we're here in the United States coming hard.
Awesome. It's all about the community. You know, I mean, everything that I'm seeing, all the trends in the marketplace right now, we're all pivoting to community-based marketplace development. So I love that you're getting behind something that, you know, has that community centric focus, right? And there are so many different adjacent markets off of this, right? I mean, you mentioned the marketplace. There's, you know, probably 1,000 lines of business off of that, right? So really applaud you for obviously getting behind what sounds to be anyway a great investment and a great cause, right? To get behind right now, something that is trending in the marketplace for sure. What about you, David? So I'm curious. I'm gonna throw a bit of a curveball at you. Please. Here. We haven't talked much about your motivational speaking too much. I know a little bit at the front half of it. What's on the docket for Mr. Nieves for motivational speeches across the globe here for the coming next, you know, 12 to 24 months?
I tend to be pretty busy and with my business already. So it is taking a bit of a back burner. I do private mentorship calls for specific companies, specific groups. It's mainly what I've been focusing on, to create a community as far as doing a seminar outside or doing speeches outside. I haven't done too much of that. Just because it keeps me pretty busy what I'm doing right now. Essentially, I see myself, of course, writing a book. I see myself, doing more and more speeches. But I want to be able to get the projects that I have already in place and get them flourishing. You know, I look at sometimes, and even though that aligns with what I already do, right? Everything aligns. It's very possible that. When you have a magnifying glass, even though the magnifying glass is taking in the same sun, if you put it back and those circle winds, you would never be able to create fire. So you got to create fire, you got to bring it down to a single point, fire springs. And then once that fire, you know, then you can move to another point and fire, create fire again, to another point, fire again. But I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they don't stand for something. And if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. So you got to stand for whatever it is that you want to do, and get laser focused on what it is. And my laser focus right now is to get my company to $20 million a month in sales. That's my laser focus. I'm not thinking about anything else. After that, I start thinking about other stuff, but I'm not thinking about anything else but that at the moment. But I think I love it. I love speaking. It's one of my passion as well. But it'll come in its own time.
Yeah, no, and kudos to you. I mean, it's a lot. First of all, $20 million, in sales is no small order, right? So there has to be a complete hyper focus to achieve a goal like that. So kudos to you for kind of knowing your limits and knowing your bounds and knowing what you really are designed by God, you know, to do at this very moment in time. I think so often, I'm sure you feel the same way, David, right? We come across other business owners or entrepreneurs and they're either misguided or they're helter-skelter, meaning they're all over the place.
Yeah.
And sometimes the hardest thing to do is just to say no,
Yeah, most right? definitely.
Because the opportunities, especially I'm sure in your world, are present. They're abundant. They're coming at you left and right. And it's not a matter of an abundance of opportunities. It's often a matter of focusing on the right opportunities at the right moments in time.
You know, balance is a joke. And this is my personal belief. There's no such thing as balance. You got to take your life to an extreme. Once you take it to an extreme, essentially becomes balanced by little by little. But to get anything going, anything you want out of life, you got to take it to an extreme. You're going to be willing to be out of balance. Then you have your non-negotiables, right? Your non-negotiables are important. Like working out for me, non-negotiable. I'm going to hit it in. I'm going to get in no matter what. Now these days I have to get in early. I get it in at 6:30 a.m., 6 a.m., 5 a.m. sometimes, but I get it in. So that's a non-negotiable. I don't want to negotiate. Relationship with my family, for example, non-negotiable. I got to get in. I got to put it in my schedule. Got to be able to call my daughters, call my family. Cool. But outside of that, I'm obsessed. And you gotta have obsessed. Yeah, I see people like it's like a seesaw. I don't know if you guys can see me. You see the phone, yeah. Like a seesaw, right? You gotta take your life like this. But when you take, sometimes you gotta take your life from out of balance. But if you move this really, really fast, it will look like it's balanced. But that's an illusion, right? But you're just taking it from different places out of balance, left and right, left and right, left and right. And the seesaw eventually looks like it's balanced, but it really isn't. You gotta be able to focus and take things to an obsession state where you're so obsessed and you got to be willing to look crazy in front of people. If people are not calling you crazy in what you're doing, you're not doing it right. You got to be willing to call crazy. You got to be willing to call me. You're obsessed. I remember my first time after I got up. Well, not my first time, but after I got out of the wheelchair and I started working my business and 12 months later, I made $1 million. I remember that year, people were telling me, David, you are possessed, they call me. We don't get it. I'm like, good. I'm glad you're calling me that because if you're calling me that, hey, I'm on the right track. But you got to be willing to do that. And you got to take your life to the extremes in order to make something, work. And that's for people who are interested, right? Some people might just say, David, nah, I'm not interested in that kind of stuff. That's cool. That's only if you're interested. You know, you can live a life and just cruise. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. No judgment here, by the way. This is just how I choose how to live my life. No judgment at all, man. To each his own. And that's okay. As long as you're doing good. And I think success is relative, by the way. You know, if you have a garbage man that comes home to a loving family, shows up to every baseball game for the kids, makes a salary, pays their bills on time. And it's just, you know, even if it's living paycheck to paycheck, who cares, but you're fulfilled. Man, you're a success in my eyes. That's straight up. But if anybody's interested in going and you know, pushing yourself to different levels and discovering new possibilities, that's also a place to be.
1 minute. Yeah, wind it.
Yeah, just a heads up on our one minute here. David, we want to make sure everyone out there, because I know everyone out there was taking diligent notes. They're probably looking up David Nieves, you know, all over social media and following you and, you know, probably will be connecting with you following the show here. Can you let everyone know what is the best way or ways to connect with you following this podcast here today?
I think the easiest way to be on Instagram, you can find me evolving_David. And that's my Instagram, and you can follow me there. My Facebook is pretty much maxed out, so you won't be able to request me there. But on Instagram, I'm very easy accessible. I check my messages every single day, and you can reach out to me there if you need me.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
David, thank you so much for coming on the show, bro. Long overdue, by the way, but I'm actually glad for our earlier chat that we waited until we had this Zoom broadcast available. I think you're going to reach a wider audience this way, and then you can reuse the content how you want. Thank you so much for coming on. Really, really great having you on here today.
Man, I appreciate you, Justin. You know, we always hit it off, man, and I'm happy to connect with you.
Absolutely.
And man, good meeting your brother as well. Anything that I can do, you guys let me know.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Bruce, why don't you take us home?
All right. Well, that was another great episode of the Concierge Coaches Show. A fantastic guest. Be with us next week and the future weeks to see the guests and the material that we have for you. Don't forget to check us out on our social media on Facebook, Concierge Coaches Show, The Concierge Coaches on Instagram, LinkedIn. Of course, check us out. All of our prior episodes are on Apple Podcasts as well as now iHeart. And we have a page on the LA Talk Radio page, and all our shows are archived there for you to listen to at any time. So with that, everybody stay happy and healthy and safe. Until next week, we'll see you here, Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.